Welcome to the Hank Haney Podcast, a production of iHeartRadio. Welcome to the Hank Haney Podcast, a production of iHeartRadio.
Three, two, one. Hey, welcome to the Hank Haney Podcast, Saturday Strong Edition. Tim Johnson. No, not Tim Johnson. Steve Johnson and Tim Peroczka here. Tim, this is just the heart of the golf season right now. And what I like is a major followed by a major. And you couldn't ask for more this week. Last week we had the U.S. Open. We had the Rahminator, which I did predict. Hank jumped on my bandwagon, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Okay, so my logic was he's due. He was domination at the Memorial, six shots up with a round to go. He's all but won that tournament, had to pull out. We know about that story. We don't have to get into that. The COVID reared its head on the PGA Tour again. If he had to do it all over again, I'm sure that he would have gotten the vaccination. He would have been fine. He would have had two victories, right, as we speak, but he didn't. Came back, he had something to prove. And it just, in those majors, the cream does rise to the top, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. There was the leaderboard down the final back nine was amazing. And then the U.S. Open did what the U.S. Open does, and players struggled mightily on the back nine. Now, I don't know if, here's a question for you. Do you think that was due to the golf course being so difficult or it being due to winning major championships are so hard?
Well, I'm a little bit of both, but you know, I mean, early in that tournament, remember Tim, we looked at that and we think, oh my gosh, this looks like a European tour event. There's no American golfers up there. And the Europeans that we did see are guys that we didn't even know. I mean, what's a Bland? What's the guy's first name?
Richard
Bland. Who his cream did not stay up toward the top. His cream sank to the bottom. And unfortunate, but you know, hey, that was a big step for him, being up at the lead after three rounds and, you know, couldn't get it done, or after two rounds, couldn't get it done. And another guy that couldn't get it done is a guy that we all think is, a lot of people say is a great ball striker, which I'm talking about Louis Oosthuizen. And everyone thought this was Louis to have. And I mean, that 17th hole killed him. I mean, we saw a bunch of mistakes happening in that last round, didn't we?
Yeah.
Hank usually says, if you make a double bogey in a major, there's no way you're going to win. Well, I mean, our winner did have a double bogey. One of the top players, I mean, right up at the lead in the last round, it was five under for a while, is John, what's the name?
Bryson DeChambeau.
Bryson DeChambeau. Would he make an eight?
Yes.
That was awful. That was all. That was like watching an accident. You couldn't. It was happening, and there's not a darn thing we could have done to stop it.
Yeah.
But happy for John Rahm. Good player. He's young. I don't particularly like his swing all that much. You know, I mean, as you get older, and I'm older. I just had a birthday, Tim. 61 years old.
When was your birthday?
The 23rd. Of June.
Wow. Of June, yeah. What did you do to celebrate?
I worked. Yeah,
you're a grinder.
Yeah. But our swings get shorter over time and our swings get slower over time. Our range of motion gets smaller. Our speed and power get diminish. And so everything that older golfers should be doing is trying to lengthen out the motion and to create more speed. Speed lengthens your life in the game. That's what it does. It gives you the ability to hit the ball farther. If you don't quit golf because it's too hard, or you don't quit golf because you're busy doing other things, most people quit golf because they can't hit it far enough to enjoy the game. That's why back a few years ago, ladies were the biggest growing segment in golf, but they were also the biggest leaving the game because it was hard. And it's no fun rolling the ball along the ground. I mean, you got to be able to get the ball up in the air and play shots to have fun. And I'm worried about John Rahm in the future. He may be retired, you know, after about 10 years, just like Bubba Watson. He wins 10 events and he says he's gonna retire. But that short swing is only going to get shorter. And so, I mean, he's got to make it while he can. I mean, he's got a lot of years left, but I don't think it's the type of swing that an older golfer would want to model. That's all I'm saying. We that watch golf on television, we model after the guys that we see, and we say, God dang, that John Rahm, he's a great ball striker. He hits it a long way. I'm going to go waist high to waist high like he does. But it won't work for you. It works for John Rahm, but it will not work for you. So don't try it.
Is that one of the most difficult moves to pull off? Because you have to be so quick coming down. Just like Tony Finau, he does a similar move as well.
But you know, Tony Finau is a little bit different case. I got to see the evolution of Tony Finau's swing. I saw him in 2015, his rookie year on the PGA Tour, Tim. And he had a real long swing. I mean, all the way up over his right shoulder. It wasn't quite the Justin Thomas swing, but it was a long swing. And he took divots that looked like T-bone steaks. I mean, they were huge and deep. And he was pretty wild. So his teacher started working with him to get him to round his swing out. And as he rounded it out, he shortened it out as well. And he's still long. But Tony Finau is doing that as a direction. I think he's a flexible guy. I think he could get longer if he needed to with his motion. But right now he's just trying to keep it on the golf course. And, you know, he's doing all right. He's a money machine. I mean, I haven't looked him up in a while, but he's got to be close to the $20 million mark. Let me look him up and we'll, you vamp while I'm looking him.
Well, I was watching the Travelers Championship round one yesterday and Tony Finau is playing in this tournament. And his first round was an absolute disaster. I've never seen Tony Finau play so poorly in my entire life. He shot 6 over 76. He was there. There's this short par 4, the 15th hole that you can drive, and he hits his first one way right, really into the bushes. He found his ball, you know, heavy fescue is what it was. Mm-hmm. He blades it across the green. Okay, so now he's hitting his third shot. He tries to flop it onto the green and he's short. He finally gets it on the green in his fourth attempt. And then, you know, he makes the bogey, but it was one of the worst holes I've ever seen Tony Finau play in my entire life because he was chunking and blading. It looked like my short game out there at the Travelers Championship.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's a guy that can make a lot of birdies and can make a lot of X's as well. And that just goes to prove he's experimenting now. He's looking at the hole on his putts. I'm not sure if it's all the putts, but I heard the commentary yesterday and they said that he was trying looking at the hole. He's had a lot of different putting techniques and philosophies since he's been on the tour since 2015. Putting is his weakness. And when you're putting terribly, and this guy, let's not sugarcoat it, Tim. This guy has the yips and he's got to deal with it. And when you're putting poorly, like he does, and let me check and see what his strokes gained putting is. In fact, why don't you check that? Strokes gained putting for the year. It puts a lot of pressure on the rest of your game, and he's feeling it. He's a big game player. That's why he does really well in the majors. He's always this year. He not so much, but in the past, he's been a name that when we see a major, it's a name that we look for because we're thinking, okay, he's going to break through at some point. I want to be on the bandwagon when he does. But he's feeling the pressure in his game right now.
Strokes gained putting. He ranks 123rd on the PGA Tour right now.
Not bad. I would have guessed a lot higher.
Last year he was 69th.
Pretty good. Pretty good. I'm not sure he's having some problems. I'm not sure why they changed for a reason, Tim. Just like Xander Schauffele. It wasn't that he was having problems. He was like ranked 7th in strokes gained putting, going left hand low. But he said, you know what? I putt a lot better when I go left hand low and do the arm lock with the left arm. Now I'm putting better.
Hmm.
So they're always looking for an advantage, just like we should be. But they are fixing their biggest miss. And that's what you should do. Fix the biggest miss first and then move on. It's not about making the video look pretty. It's about fixing, making your shots more functional, more repeatable, and that leads to more fun.
But it's all about how it looks on the video, Steve.
No, it's not. Because if it was, you'd come with a different outfit.
But it improves your confidence seeing your swing on video. It just looks so pure and sweet.
But you know what? It's funny because I've been around a lot of, well, Mark O'Meara, Hall of Famer. I've been around a lot of golfers on the PGA Tour, a lot of multiple winners. There's not a guy, I'm telling you, this is across the board, Tim. There's not a guy that looks at his swing or a woman that looks at her swing that is pleased with the way it looks.
I'm pretty pleased with the way mine looks, actually.
Well, I mean, you've got bad eyes. That's why. you don't have good discretion. You don't have good judgment in terms of what your swing should look like. But I promise you, across the board, I've never seen a swing. Everyone tells me how good my swing is. I've never seen a swing that I've made that I thought, gosh, I wish I didn't look like that all the time. That's just the facts.
Interesting. Well, some people have a little bit lower self-confidence and that way, you know, can't really put it together on the golf course like I can.
Yeah.
Well, let's take our first break. Last week, you talked about it being one of the best sports weekends of the year, the U.S. Open and Olympic trials. And I want to hear your thoughts on last weekend's sports weekend. I want to hear your thoughts on your 61st birthday, what your birthday dinner was, if it was the same as last year. And I want to hear your thoughts on this weekend. Will this weekend be one of the best sports weekends of the year with another major championship and some more Olympic trials going on?
Yeah, absolutely. Can we blend in a little bit the ladies leading the way again?
That
men's tour needs to follow the ladies' tour. They're setting the trend. We need to talk about that as well.
All right, let's do that. First, go to HaneyUniversity.com to improve your golf game. Sign up for the free daily newsletter that will come straight to your email inbox, which is full of instructional videos directly from Hank Haney. This will improve your golf game. Hank also has great practice aids on Haney University, like the Impact Snap, like a putting aid that Dustin Johnson has, and so much more. HaneyUniversity.com.
Welcome back to the Hank Haney Podcast, Saturday Strong Edition. Steve Johnson along with Minnesota Tim Prochka. And we got to move on, Tim. We got to move on with the topics of the day. And one of the topics of the day was that I made the claim last week that last week could be perhaps the best sports weekend of the year. At least it was for me. We got the U.S. Open golf at Torrey Pines. We've got coverage up the yin yang. I mean, it's unbelievable how much coverage they had. Not only visual, but on Sirius XM, which I listened to when I was in the car, the play-by-play, Brian Katrick, radio's version of Jim Nance, he was there. And then also we had the Olympic trials. We had the Olympic trials in swimming and the start of track and field, which talk about two sports with actually three sports. The harder you work, the better you get in all three of those sports, golf, track and field, and swimming. I mean, and then we had the NHL playoffs, and we've got a game seven that's taking place on Friday night, Tampa Bay against, who do they play?
The Islanders.
The Islanders, the Isle. Yeah, that's right.
And I'm not even paying attention.
Well, that'll be a great game. And by the time this is aired, that game will be over. And I'm predicting the Tampa Bay will win. It's in Tampa Bay. I thought they were going to finish it off at six, but they didn't. So last week was great. This week, you know what? I don't know if this week is as good. I mean, we still do have track and field. We have men's gymnastics, which is, I mean, how many? It's unbelievable what those guys can do with their bodies on the ground. They're jumping and they're triple flipping and all that stuff. But once you've seen one of them do it, I mean, it's just like watching the same thing over and over again. I watch it a little bit. I'm channel surfing in and out of the men's gymnastics. We do have the women's KPMG PGA Championship, which is a major. So I alluded to in the first segment. And then we have continued Olympic trials. We had some finals for the hurdles, the 800. I mean, this has got to be something that you'd like, isn't it?
Yes, yes. We recorded the Olympic trials on Thursday night because there was track and field and gymnastics. I was channel surfing through the gymnastics and the NBA basketball. And I was also watching this Gordon Ramsay television show where he travels the world and cooks mysterious dinners for guests that he has to find. So that was actually really cool, too. Let us know how the women are leading the way this week in the KPMG.
Okay, yeah, that's how we don't want to bury the lead. So the ladies have been the ladies' tour is on the rise. You know, it's an international tour. They have about 35% of their tournaments are in different countries. It's not just a U.S. tour; it's a world tour, which I think the men's is going to be heading that direction at some point. World Golf Championships has already kind of made it that way a little bit. But I think as the European Tour struggles, as the PGA Tour looks for more sponsors worldwide, I think that the events will be worldwide. We've got the Premier Golf League. We haven't talked about that for a number of weeks. Who knows where that is. But the KPMG PGA Championship. Now, the PGA of America and the PGA Tour are helping the women's LPGA marketing and all that stuff. And this is the first year that the women have allowed club pros in the KPMG PGA Championship.
Good for them.
Yeah. They didn't have 40, nor did they have 25, nor do they have 20 club pros. You know how many club pros they have in the KPMG PGA Championship?
Five.
They have eight.
Eight.
I heard five, but now that I have eight because I have the names right here. I think that's a good number. I think, you know, we talked about this continually as well, that in the women's game, the separation between the top of the top and everyone else is not as great as the men's tour. We talk about the cream rising to the top in the men's tour. On the majors and the big tournaments, you typically get the marquee players up there. You very seldom see somebody come out of nowhere and win a big tournament. But in the women's U.S. Open, which is coming up here pretty soon, we'll see a girl that's a junior golfer. We'll see amateur golfers. We'll see maybe some mid-ams that are up there way at the top of the leaderboard in the women's events. Heck, we almost had a 17-year-old win a couple weeks ago, right?
Sure.
Yes. Yeah, we did.
I don't know. I didn't know.
Yeah, we did, Tim. Okay. Just to let you know.
Thanks.
But there are eight gals that are playing here, and here's what I think they should do. I think eight is a good number. We're trying to reward play. We're not rewarding guys that can run a good tournament or guys that can make a good scoreboard or women that are good teachers. We should be rewarding good play, good numbers. So here's my suggestion. They've got eight there. You know, about 38% of the field makes the cut. Did you know that?
Yes.
Okay. So let's say none of these ladies make the cut. This is just the Steve Johnson, the great predictor, trying to fix a problem, trying to come up with a solution, not just talk about things that I don't like, but trying to fix them. Let's say we've got one lady makes the cut. And it'll be questionable whether anyone makes the cut. You've got one person, or you've got two people that are inside the cut line right now. Sandra Changkija, she's a club pro, tied for 29th. She shot even par. And then second place was Elisa Rodriguez. She's tied for 63rd. They take 60 and tie. She's right on the cut line right now at two over par, 74. If 38% of the women make the cut in this event, then what I would do, let's say, just for argument's sake, that two ladies make the cut. I take that two ladies and I divide by 38%, and I get a little over 5. So next year, if two ladies make the cut, then next year they get 5 people get to play in the tournament.
Oh, wow.
That would be the minimum. Minimum 5 or 6. I think the men should do the same thing. So like the guys have 20 players that on the PGA Tour, PGA Championship, 20 club pros. So let's say 6 of those guys made the cut, which they never do. They never do. That takes 6 and I divide by 38%. That would mean next year, because 6 guys made the cut, 16 guys get to come back, get invitations for the following year. The minimum would be some number, either 4, 5, 8, something like that, the minimum number of club pros. But to have 20 club pros every year is ridiculous when 1 or 2 guys are making the cut. Like this year, I think 2 guys made the cut. So you get 2 divided by 0.38, and you get 5.26. You get your minimum.
Wow.
So every year, you get your minimum. How's that for a solution, Tim?
That is the great predictor's great solution. That is a great idea. I fully support this idea of the great predictor. However, there is one possible detriment to your solution.
Okay, what's that?
Well, there are some people that will argue, why would you, hinder someone's future chances of making it to the PGA Championship for someone in the PGA Championship this year that did not make the cut? What does Joe Schmo got to do with John Doe the following year?
Well, it's being competitive, and you're rewarding good play. You're rewarding because it's not like you leave those spots vacant. Let's say 5 guys, 2 guys make the cut. We'll take 6 guys for the following year. That means 14 more guys that actually deserve to be there get in the PGA Championship. Guys that have committed to being on the PGA Tour. Guys that have some kind of status on the PGA Tour. Some guys that are maybe their world ranking doesn't get them in, but they're good enough where they could compete. That's what I'm saying. So you don't shrink the field by the lack of having club pros. You fill it in with guys that are legit. What do you think about that?
That's a great idea. I really wish I could argue.
I'm gonna have to run that by Hank. I'm gonna have to run that by Hank and just see. He can shoot some holes in it. But I mean, the big argument that everyone makes is, hey, it's their tournament; they can do whatever they want. Well, that is the weakest excuse in the world.
Well, it is true.
I thought we were gonna try to do something that would help build golf. I'd rather see guys from different continents. It's a world game, and we're seeing it even more now, Tim. It's a game that is being embraced in all the countries.
Well, you are managing the Hank Haney Golf Ranch. Can't you do whatever you want at the Hank Haney Golf Ranch because you're managing it?
We could, but yeah. We like to do what, we're here to serve the customers.
Free lessons would be nice.
And, anyone that charges for lesson gives a lot of free lessons. Gives a lot of freebies.
That's true.
And if you don't, I mean, even guys like Hank and Butch and, the great teachers, David Ledbetter, they give a lot of free lessons. Jim McClain, free lessons, man. They don't advertise that, but sometimes they do it to help out the younger teachers. Maybe one of their staff members gets himself into a spot or herself into a spot where the student is suffering. I know Hank has saved me a bunch of times coming in. Hey, why don't we try this? I can remember just a very short story. One of our young teachers, Quint Alexander, back in the day, this was the early 90s. He had a guy that was left-handed. Well, he'd played both ways. He played right-handed and left-handed. And he was terrible left-handed. And Quint was having a hard time. And Hank stepped in there and asked the guy, hey, let's take a look. Let's watch you hit right-handed. And so he did a lot better, and he had a much more powerful, repeatable swing right-handed than he did left-handed. Hank convinced him that he should continue right-handed. So he told Quint, he said, if you could have one wish with this student that was left-handed, wouldn't it be that he would go to right-handed? And Quint said, yeah, that would be my my one wish. He said, okay, I gave you that wish. Now you need to move forward with it. You need to help this guy and be committed to helping this guy, get him over the humps. There's going to be some problems and challenges that he has, switching hands. But it's up to you now. So everybody gets free lessons, Tim.
Plus, if you send in your golf video to golfschools@hankcaney.com, a down-the-line swing of your video, you will get a free game plan and analysis back from the great predictor, one of the great instructors.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Another free, available way to improve your game.
You can ask questions, too, on Haney University. Hank will address them. He'll do a video on them.
There you go.
Yeah.
I thought you said there's a live chat coming.
It's still in the works. It's in the works. I think their platform, they're having some, it's in the development phase, you know, that's what I'm talking about. But we have like 15 teachers that are going to participate and help the Haney University disciples. And we're there to help for free.
F-R-E-E?
Yep.
Well, what is also free is Voodoo Pain Relief Cream. If you go to voodoopainrelief.com right now, you can access a free two-week supply of this formula, of this product that will take you away.
It's a patented.
Patented formula that will improve and take away your aches and your pains in 5 minutes sometimes. It could be 10 minutes. It is a great product that will help you immensely. So go to voodoopainrelief.com right now to feel better today.
Hey, Tim, when we come back, let's talk a little bit. There's a lot of talk, and even with the Olympic trials, a lot of talk about this athletes going through depression and dealing with anxiety. We got to talk about that a little bit.
Okay. All right. We'll talk about that next.
We're back. This is episode number 2 of our, we had that hiatus. Tim took some time off, got married. How's the marriage going, by the way, Tim?
Oh, it's going so good. It's great.
Good. Yeah. You're in a phase. You know what phase you're in?
I am in the newlywed phase.
Yes, the newlywed phase. That's it. That's what you're in. And I'm not sure exactly how long that lasts. It doesn't last forever, I'll tell you that. I do have, Michelle and I do have a wedding anniversary coming up, number 37. 37, well, it's, time flies, man.
Wow.
Time flies. But let's talk about a few years ago, Bubba Watson talked about his anxiety. Remember that?
I do.
He was losing a bunch of weight. He thought he was sick. He thought he was dying. I remember how skinny he got. My gosh, he got so skinny. And he wasn't playing very well. Who else has battled with depression and anxiety?
There's been a lot of people on the PGA Tour. I can't name names, but.
Well, you know, I was watching the Olympic trials last night, and this McCulloch is his name. He's one of the top gymnasts. I mean, those guys are just built, aren't they?
Yes.
They're about 3 feet tall, but they're just, man, they are just, they've got some muscles on them.
Yeah, they do.
Their body control is unbelievable. But he talked about, and he's battled with depression and anxiety. And his goal was just to go out there and just be smiling and have fun. I know Lexi Thompson has talked about it at points in her career, dealing with issues and anxiety. Do you think that there's more anxiety and more mental illness for athletes than just the general population? Or what do you think it's just that they're just starting to talk about it?
They're just starting to talk about it. Mental illness is something that has been on the rise for the last several years due to social media, due to technology, due to so many different parameters. It's not just the professional athletes that are struggling. I've struggled with it some. You talk to doctors around that you know, and you just ask them, how many patients are you seeing that you're prescribing anxiety medication to or depression medication to? and they will tell you that it has never been higher than it is right now.
Well, why do you think that is? I mean, do you think that's just there's just so much pressure on people, or they need to be perfect? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, there's a lot of pressure, and social media creates this perfect lifestyle because you just see the highlights of everybody's life, and it's a big part of it. So I don't know exactly all the reasons for it. Lack of exercise, lack of motivation. I don't know. There's a lot of different things that go into it.
But you look at guys like Gary Player would be a great example. I mean, the guy's in his 80s and maybe he's even in his 90s now. Always great attitude, always positive, always just looking for the good in something rather than being weighed down. I don't think he gets weighed down by much. And I look to him and I think, okay, here's a guy that does exercise. You talked about exercise. Eating correctly. He's just a disciple, and he's an evangelist for good eating. No fast foods, no French fries, no fried foods, fruits, vegetables, meats, just eating clean. And, I don't know if some of this, Tim, this increase in anxiety is just all these advertisements about on television. You've seen them. I mean, about talking about, oh, you're depressed, you have schizophrenia, blah, blah. They're advertising drugs to help you cope with these. No, I'm not saying that the medication is not required and not a benefit to some people. But why don't people try the good diet and the exercise first? Yeah. Rather than just don't. I mean, my wife's a dentist and she does profiles on patients that come in. And she says, you wouldn't believe how many people have, well over a dozen medications they're taking every day. They're taking them for a primary reason. Then they're taking other medications because of the side effects of the primary medication. And it's just a spiral in that direction that you're taking layers of pills to try to counteract the side effects that you're having from the pill that's fixing something else. So I think it's good we're talking about it. I think it's good that that the PGA Tour players are spokespeople for getting help. I mean, Michael Phelps. I mean, we're looking right that McCulloch. Michael Phelps has been a big poster child for mental health. I think it's good. I think it's really good.
Yeah, that's for sure. So, quick question.
Okay.
What did you have for your 61st birthday? What was your dinner?
What did I have for my 61st? I had some roasted chicken.
Wow.
Some vegetables.
Okay.
Some fire roasted vegetables. Then I had fries. I had fries.
What's wrong with fries?
I didn't want the mashed potatoes. I just talked about no fried foods, and I just ate fries.
And was this from Chick-fil-A?
No. Bella Green. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. That's what I had.
What are your top three restaurants that are well known?
Top three. I'm a big steak guy, Tim. I love steak.
Outback Steakhouse.
Capital Grill is a good one. They're all over the place. They're all over the country. Barbecue is another one. Hutchins Barbecue in Frisco and McKinney, Texas, are the best. Southern Soul is a good one down there in the low country where the HSBC tournament is down in Hilton Head.
Hmm.
That's a great place. And then, you know what? I'm pretty boring. I go to the same restaurants all the time.
Yeah, me too. Quick question for you. Me and my wife were talking about this week. Are you familiar with the Village Church?
Yes, that's where I go.
You go to the Village Church?
Yeah.
With Matt Chandler?
Yeah.
Yeah. And in I listen to the podcast weekly, and you listen to the Australian was the speaker last week.
From Hillsong?
Yeah. I don't know. He had an accent. Yeah. I was just curious about it.
It's like we've digressed from podcast to now we're just talking about just regular life.
Yeah, well, that's what we do. We're the regulars.
Okay.
Any final thoughts that you want to leave the podcast with?
Are you a father yet?
I am not a father yet.
Okay. Well, that's good.
We'll see if anything
happens.
What's
your plan? What's your guys' plans on that front? Are you going to wait for a while or what?
We're going to see where it takes us.
Everyone's going to see where it takes them, Tim. But on paper, what have you guys discussed? Hey, you know what? Let's hold off a little bit. You guys are still young.
Yeah, we're planning on holding off a little bit. But we'll see what happens.
Are you taking any precautions, any protection or not?
Oh, of course. Yeah, definitely.
What method? What are you doing?
We are going with the Trojan.
Okay. All right. Good. Good. That's good. That's reliable.
Yeah.
About 92% reliable.
Oh no, it's like 99.7%.
Is it really? It's just like a vaccine. Have you guys gotten vaccinated?
No. Have you?
Okay. No.
Are you still using protection?
I'm using permanent protection.
What's permanent protection?
I'm sterile, man. I guess my mom's got vasectomy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Why did he do that?
Because we were done having kids.
So you just clipped your balls.
I didn't do it. I didn't do it. I had it done. It's a funny story too. I mean, I was busy. It was in the summer, and Michelle and I discussed it, and so it ended up that I was the one that was going to do get the procedure. So I had a lesson book that was full, and I thought, okay, I can do it next Tuesday. So I started researching, and I mean, gosh, a lot of these places you got to go in and you got to do watch video, you got to get counseling, and Tuesday is my day. I got to do it Tuesday.
Give me a scissors.
Well, no, I wasn't that brave. So I found a surgeon in McKinney. He's a general surgeon. He said, "Yeah, come into the office. We'll get her done." We all went in there, and sure enough, chop chop, and it's done. He says, go put some ice on them and relax, keep your feet up for the day, and you'll be good to go. You know, maybe a little bit sore, but you'll be good to go.
It's crazy.
So I did that. Nuts.
No one's ever clipping my balls.
So anyway, went and did the treatment, just laid down, relaxed for the rest of the day. Next morning, I got up, had a full schedule of lessons, and I taught those lessons, and day two came by, and I'm still a little bit sore, but not bad. Teaching. Day three came up, and three days after the procedure, man, I was hurting. Thought, man, I felt like I was walking like I'd ridden a horse, like bow legged, you know.
Walking like
and
you
I
got
said,
sacked.
I said, Michelle, I said, I think something's wrong. She says, why? I said, I'm. It's really hurt. I'm hurting. She says, well, what kind of antibiotics are you taking? I said, the guy didn't give me any antibiotics. I don't have any antibiotics. She says, oh, man. She says, let me see. So, oh, my gosh, you got them. It's like watermelons. But maybe not that. I'm exact. Cantaloupes.
What?
Yeah. Oh.
Your balls were like cantaloupes?
It was I swole up, man.
You had
an infection. And so.
Well, they say that after you have a vasectomy, you're supposed to go squirting soon.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Saying. You test to see if it works. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's just healthy to do that.
So I'm out of the game, man. I'm out of the game.
One of my friends got a vasectomy. So
really?
So you're.
It's called a vasectomy.
Vasectomy.
Not a bisectomy. It's called
vasectomy. Okay. Yes. Thank you.
Not bisectomy.
Wow. So this is a lot of man talk at the end of the podcast here.
Yeah. Yeah. But. It started with your plan, and then you asked me what my plan was. I'm out of the game.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But I'm still in the game of golf, and I want to help you with your game. golfschools@hankhaney.com. If you have any questions, at Great Predictor 1, at Tim Parachka is his Twitter handle, Haney University. Log on there. Check it out. You got free videos. You can get a free video every day.
You could.
And plus, they've got some great products on there, Voodoo Pain Relief Cream. Patented formula. I mean, Tim, I'm taking your spots. I'm doing the advertising.
You're doing a great job too.
Well, until next time, we're starting all over again with the sequence. This will be week number 3 next week. So
yes,
we hope to tell your friends to download the podcast, to give it a little favorite on there, subscribe, and we'll be talking to you about how to fix your golf game.
There we go. Make putts.
And how to fix the population. How to fix the population explosion.
Okay. Okay, Biden. Make putts. Leave the flag stick in. Hit and hit bombs. I said that backwards, but who cares? Have a great day.
Thanks, Tim.
That was fun.
Cantaloupes.
The Hank Haney Podcast is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.